desert storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. Once again, it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. We have a great show for you today. We'll be talking about homelessness in America. We'll also be talking about racism and going through the readings for this Sunday's Mass coming up on June 13th. But it is a privilege once again to be here to bring you the message of the gospel, which is what we do here at Holy Spirit Radio. So today our show is dedicated to all of the racists in America and around the world. And my friends, we're going to start off today with a prayer for those people out there who carry that prejudice within their heart for whatever reason. And so please join me now in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Father God, what can we say but thank you for another day and for the gifts, graces, and blessings that you've given us to be here on the air at Holy Spirit Radio. We pray today for all those who carry prejudice within their heart, those who are in opposition to the goodness of God. We pray for those who are racist in America and carry negative words and negative actions on a daily basis. Those who are out there trying to oppose the Word of God, the love of God, and the peace of God that comes from heaven above. Father God, we ask for humility today for those people who carry that prejudice and for an end to racism in America and around the world. We ask this today through the intercession of our Holy Family and through Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is a big topic, my friends, racism in America. And, you know, there's no question about it that there are people who carry that within them. And it's our job as Christians to follow in the words that our Savior gave us to love one another. And when we do that and we practice that each and every day, you know, we have opportunity to put differences aside and to move forward with a great peaceful relationship. And this is important. And so as Christians out there and as Catholics, we really need to look at every opportunity we have to end racism in America by giving people really a lot of love and support, but accountability as well. And I know in working in the prison system for many years over in Philadelphia and going into 8 facilities throughout Pennsylvania and New Jersey, there is no question that, you know, people should be given the benefit of the doubt. And we measure trust one conversation at a time in the WINGS program. And as we, you know, proceed with a 50-hour, 10-week, 20-session program, we build relationships and we put differences aside. We touch the hearts and minds of our inmates who've been incarcerated for any length of time. And so our job in the WINGS program is to overcome racism and to overcome pride and prejudice and the superego. This is important, and it takes time, quality time, meeting men and women where they are at, because there's no question sometimes injustices have been done to a person, and they carry with them a grudge. It's our job to undo that by trying to provide as much love and support, again, with accountability, with God's morals, values, ethics, and biblical principles as at the forefront. And with the love of God, the peace of God, through the Word of God, we've been able to make great strides, and we've never had an issue in serving more than, you know, thousands of men in the WINGS program. And so I just tell you that I am so pleased to know that in working with African-American individuals, Hispanic, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Catholic, atheist, agnostic, and working with people, there is an approach, a strategy that we take to put our differences aside, to undo the prejudice, you know. And and I've said it before, but many years ago we had a gentleman in a WINGS program, Leon, who was at the House of Corrections, and at the graduation after a 50-hour program, he said this. He said, "You know, Joe," he said, "I really need to talk to you. May I talk to you?" He said, "Mr. Montone, all my life, my father and my uncles told me that there's no good in the white man. And here you are giving me 100% for months." And he's crying to me. And he's sharing from his heart and confiding in me, which is powerful, something that you would never hear from someone. And no matter what the color, white, black, it doesn't matter. This man is confiding in me and about the way he's been taught because of injustices that were done in the past. And it's up to us to do whatever we can to heal those wounds from the past. And with the love of God, we have opportunity every day to do that. But when Leon confided in me, my friends, he told me something that no one could have ever told me and had never told me before, that there's no good in the white man. And, you know, coming from a white family, I'll tell you, that was hard to accept. And I told him, "You know, Leon," I said, "I'm doing what I was called to do, and God has given me the grace to give you 100% in the WINGS program, and I'm going to do that, and that's my job here." And you know, there are good people and bad people, and good behavior and bad behavior in all denominations and all colors. And in my home growing up in New York City, our door was always open. And that's the way we were raised. And I'll just tell you, my grandparents, you know, did a great deal to foster that kind of mentality and show us that philosophy, as their door was always open to give someone a meal, to have a glass of wine and a piece of cheese. My grandfather, Angelo Amen, always said, "If you can't sit down and have a conversation and a glass of wine with someone for an hour or two, there's something wrong with that." And very often you see conversations are just a minute or two. People are unable to share openly. They're unable to move forward and to build strong relationship because of wounds of the past, because of pride, prejudice, the superego. And there's no question that there are injustices in the world. But we see today, as we have seen for centuries, that there is prejudice amongst different races. And it doesn't matter if it's the Irish and the Italians, the African Americans and the white people, the Asian community and other communities. It doesn't matter who it is. Our job is to move us forward and to try to bring the peace, to bring God's love first, and then we can bring great peace and build strong relationships. And this truly is a test for America today, as people are here from all over the world, as they have always been here in America. And so in getting along and moving forward, we truly need to put differences aside and look at our commonalities that we have and other people have as well, things like family life, children, bringing love to other people, practicing the greatest second commandment, the second greatest commandment, which is to love one another, love your neighbor as yourself. But those commonalities are so important. And I remember many years ago when I was training pilots over at Flight Safety International in Newcastle, Delaware, we were training the Chinese with an interpreter, and it's actually the Chinese Air Force. And I gave him a message, which was, you know, as we opened the class, I said, you know, I said, good morning, my friends, and welcome. I said, I want to begin with this. I said, you and I are not so different. Although we come from different continents and different countries, we are all aviators. We all enjoy our families. We enjoy marriage and children. We enjoy building a good career, enjoying our work and our time off as well. We all breathe air. We all like food. We have certain things that are our favorites. But because of that, you and I are not so different, my friends. And so today we're going to begin a program for the next 4 weeks and set a great foundation for excellent relationships as we train you men to go home to China to fly airliners. And so we started with that. And amazingly enough, all of the men... all of the men sat very erect in their seats and was paying attention, you know, which was an amazing thing. You know, it's what I expected, and that's what we received. And the instructors who were there, as well as the interpreter, who did a phenomenal job of interpreting, you know, the Chinese language, Mandarin, to English, did a phenomenal job. But I just tell you that we had opportunity and we did it to bring great peace and set a good foundation for strong relationships for the next 4 weeks. And I encourage you to do what you can to end racism in America and to end pride and prejudice and the superego, to bring the peace, to build strong relationships. And it can be done. But with God's help, all things are possible. And so we need to lead with God's strategies, with his ways of doing things. And it works. It's just a matter of putting our ways aside and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in with the goodness of God and making, you know, some great things happen. Okay. I want to move forward, my friends, to our hot topic for today, which is homelessness in America. And I want to give you some information on this. This is a powerful thing because we have a lot of men who come out of prison who were incarcerated, and they basically come out with no job, very little money, and very little support, no home unless they've made some arrangements. And so they contribute to homelessness in America. Also, we see a lot of our veterans, unfortunately, you know, in a homelessness state. So, you know, what can we do, you know, to help to end this situation? And there are an estimated 553,742 people in the United States experiencing homelessness on a given night, according to the most recent national point-in-time estimate in January 2017. This represents a rate of approximately 17 people experiencing homelessness per every 10,000 people in the general population. So over 500,000 people are in a homeless state every night, living on the streets, living under highways. It brings me back to the Wings program when we had a man that I was mentoring over at the Philadelphia Industrial Correctional Center. And we had several visits, and he said to me, he says, you know, Joe, he said, when I come home, he said, please help me to find a place to live. I don't want to live under the highway. There's big rats under the highway, I've lived there before. So when I come home, you have to help me to find a place to live. And, you know, just thinking about this, you know, how did that evolve? How did this man become homeless? Well, this gentleman was born in prison, one of the only persons in the WINGS program in thousands of men who was actually born in prison. How do you become born in prison? Well, his mother was an inmate in the Philadelphia Department of Corrections. And so he was born, for the first 2 weeks, he lived in prison. And then he was taken home by his grandmother, and she raised him. And for the first 14 years, you know, he lived with his grandmother, and she had a boyfriend, and he and the boyfriend did not get along so well. They had differences. And the grandmother and the boyfriend threw him out. They put him out. At 14 years old, he was a product of the streets. And basically, you know, was involved in all kinds of scams and drug sales. And he spent many years in prison, but he was in and out, until I met him. And he became homeless because of differences in the home. And this can happen when people coming up, young people, young teenagers, who are fighting for independence, want to do things their way and genuinely disrespect a mother's and a father's way of doing things, or grandparents' way of doing things. And this is a problem because, you know, the parents or grandparents are providing a home, a room, food, clothing, education, and doing everything that the child needs. And sometimes people want to do things their way. And this is where young people, you know, can end up getting put out of a home. And, you know, this is important. You know, on the other side, we had a young man who was 17, who was in the WINGS program in his mid-20s, who shared with us that his mother was a drug-addicted woman for many years. And at 16, 17, he had to take care of his mom. He had to do whatever he could do to take care of his mom and to get her help. And she was in rehab and she needed detox. And so sometimes it's the fault of a child and who's been, you know, mentored by friends in the neighborhood or other people. Or sometimes it's parents who have addiction to alcohol or drugs or gambling or other things and are not providing a stable home life. And there is, you know, separation. There are differences. And so our job is to bring in God's ways of doing things, which is so important, to provide a stable home and to build a home out of a house. Out of a structure, we build a home by putting great love and stability every day into that home, where we are sitting down to have a family meal. We are spending quality time together. The average father spends about 2 hours a week with his kids. Our job is to spend much, much more than that by doing things God's ways. But since the first year that data on American homelessness was gathered, the numbers have fallen. Fewer people are homeless now than in 2007, according to the National Alliance to End Homelessness. The United States has seen a drop of 12%, although there has been an uptick in recent years. Advocates worry the coronavirus pandemic will erase the progress. Protecting against the spread of the coronavirus is particularly tricky, if not impossible, for people without homes or anywhere to isolate or socially distance. Despite the overall decrease in numbers, there remain many people without homes. More than 500,000 were recorded during the national count in January 2019. Of those, 70% were individuals, but the remainder included families with children, per the NAEH. More than a third had no shelter at all and were sleeping on the streets, in parks, and in other similar locations. California and New York have the highest percentages of homeless people. Some communities have formed a network to find solutions to the problem. Started by an organization called Community Solutions in 2015, the effort concentrated at first on trying to end homelessness for veterans and the chronically homeless. So far, by its standards, 13 communities have accomplished the goal. The federal government, using different criteria, has credited more than 80 communities and 3 states with success. The government ordered a halt to evictions during the coronavirus pandemic, but the ban expires at the end of the year. Advocates are urging the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to extend the protections until next year. And this is important, my friends, because we're either as a country becoming more stable or less stable, more credible or less credible. We're either more of a role model today than ever, or becoming less of a role model for other people. And this is important because more than 500,000 people are homeless. Again, there were 567,715 people who were homeless on a particular night in January 2019 when the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development conducted its annual count. While some groups are more likely to be homeless than others, the survey included every demographic in the country. The United States has the highest number of homeless people among industrialized countries, according to a 2015 study by the Basuk Center on Homeless and Vulnerable Children and Youth. When we talk about families with children, that makes up 30% of homeless. Again, in the 2019 nationwide tally, most homeless people were individuals, 70%. But there were also families with children with no homes. There were 396,045 individuals, 171,000 people who were part of families, and 96,000 chronically homeless people, 37,000 veterans, and 35,000 young people on their own. Pervasive homelessness of children from parents is a new phenomenon over the last 30 years. And so this is a problem that still exists for us, and we need to do whatever we can to help people to rise out of a homelessness state. Men are more apt to become homeless than women. Again, men are far more likely to be homeless than women, making up 60% of the total. When just the individuals are counted, men and unaccompanied young men account for 70% of the group. In 27 states and Puerto Rico, the percentage of individual men is even higher, 82% in Louisiana, for example. So why is it that men are more apt to be homeless than women? Why is it, my friends, if you look around, and we see that young people go to school and are scheduled to go to grammar school or elementary school, middle school, high school, trade school, or college. Why is it that our men are more apt to become homeless? Why is it that we have 37,000 veterans who are homeless, people who came out of the military, people who got an education there, who were paid there? How does it happen that people become homeless? And so one of the things we've always advocated for in the WINGS program is a great work ethic. And to go to work you know, anywhere from 40 to 55 hours a week, and to do whatever you can to become more stable financially, to build your credibility with the bank so that you can get a home loan, a car loan, start a business. And, you know, this is important. A lot of people, my friends, are in various situations. I want to share with you a story about a young lady who is divorced a couple years ago. And her ex-husband told her that I won't get a job to pay child support. And he won't do it. And because he doesn't want to pay child support, so he won't get a job on the books. He'll take jobs off the books, not paying taxes. And for that specific reason, he doesn't want to pay his child support on a monthly basis. So he presents, you know, himself to the courts as an unemployed individual, unable to get a job. Think about that one. Now, not only is he ignorant for the fact that, you know, he is not supporting his son or daughter in this situation, but later on in life, as a man in his mid-30s, later on in his life, when he, you know, goes to inquire about Social Security benefits, he won't have contributed to Social Security at all. And in the WINGS program, we always advocate for people to work on the books. Okay, number one, you're paying your taxes, you're doing the right thing, and God says, you know, to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. And so paying your taxes is part of the way we live here in America. You work hard, you play hard. And for those who are working on the books, doing the right thing, contributing to the building of infrastructure around the country and the school systems and much, much more than that, they have eligibility to Social Security benefits. So, you know, if you look at it, when someone does work on the books, number one, they're paying their taxes, but also as they work, if for some reason they can no longer work 75% of Social Security will come to them immediately if they have a heart attack or stroke or some other situation and they are unable to work any longer. So whatever they paid into Social Security is going to come back to them. Also, if that person dies, their spouse will get those Social Security benefits. 65% of whatever they would get at the age of 67 will come to them. And if it's a single person and they have children, those benefits will come to the children. And so this is important. And the other thing, as I said earlier, when you're working on the books, you have paycheck, you have pay stubs, and you have opportunity to show credibility to the banks. You know, one day you might want to get a home loan or a car loan or start a business, a line of credit. But without pay stubs, without any credibility in the work area, no bank is going to give you that kind of financing. So it's very important. So for the men out there who decide not to work on the books because they don't want to pay child support, I want you to think about what you're doing, because, you know, you're making some grand mistakes. First and foremost, you're not doing the right thing for your kids, and you're not doing the right thing for the country. We have, you know, so many millions and millions of people not working today who are on disability and shouldn't be on disability, but they should be working and working hard to contribute. This is important. So we advocate for a great work ethic, my friends. Get out there, get a job, go to work, pay your taxes, buy a home, pay it off, have a car instead of public transportation, and do whatever you can to enjoy your life when you're not working. Enjoy your family and friends, enjoy your time off, because you work hard, you play hard. And this is an important message today. Real life stories in the WINGS program, my friends. Very, very critical. We're about half past the hour now, my friends, and you're listening to Joe Montone here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. We're here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. And again, it is a great day, June 11th, 2021. And we're going to get into our readings now as we go forward. And I want you to, before we do, just keep in prayer those people who are homeless and do whatever you can to help whenever you can. You know, when you can, you know, make it a teaching moment and get people up and running again, you know, because they have to go to work and work hard. I remember coming from court one day for one of my Men in the Wings program down in Philadelphia, and on a blanket was a young man. He couldn't have been more than 25 years old, laid out on the sidewalk in front of a store. And as I'm passing, I stopped and looked at him, and I said, you know what, I just can't walk by this individual. I must say something. And I looked at him, he looked at me, I said to him, what are you doing laying on the ground at 11 o'clock in the morning? Get up. You should be up and working and going, you know, to work and doing good things for yourself. You're a young man. And immediately, I tell you the truth, immediately that young man started to move because he was uncomfortable. And I called him out. And he asked me, you know, what can you do for me? So I gave him my card and invited him to come to Drexel University to the Wings program, where we hold class on Saturday mornings and for 2 hours every Saturday for 5.5 years. But I gave him the card, and I just tell you that another woman passing by said to me, it couldn't have been more than a minute after he and I stopped talking. He said, I'm so glad, she said, that you said something to him. I said, we can't have people sleeping on the streets when they should be out there working. And I don't know his past or his background. I don't know if he has addiction, if he has, you know, money issues. I don't know what his problems are. It could be just laziness as a result of addiction to alcohol, drugs, or the people he's hanging around with, the company he keeps. That circle of influence could be negative. But she appreciated that, and so did he. So, my friends, do whatever you can. And if all you can do is pray for the homeless, then do it. But if you can offer a word of advice to get the young people moving forward, you know, and it all starts in our own home first. Let's take care of our own houses and then go over to somebody else's house next. But let's leave our homes in disorder, disarray. Let's bring the peace and let's get things straight first at home. Then we can go to someone else's and help them as well. Very important. Okay, my friends, we are going into our readings for the upcoming weekend, the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And our first reading is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 17, 22 to 24. And here it is. A reading from the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I too will take from the crest of the cedar, from its topmost branches, tear off a tender shoot, and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel I will plant it. It shall put forth branches and bear fruit, and become a majestic cedar. Birds of every kind shall dwell beneath it, every winged thing in the shade of its boughs. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, bring low the high tree, lift high the lowly tree, wither up the green tree, and make the withered tree bloom. As I, the Lord, have spoken, so will I do. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In our first reading today, my friends, from the prophet Ezekiel, a man given great gifts to provide a message to the people, to the flock, and the Lord empowered him to do it. But it says here in the reading, it shall put forth branches and bear fruit. And bearing fruit is something that should be a goal for all of us, bearing good fruit. And when you go to Philadelphia, to the 9th Street Market, you know, when you go there and you walk through the streets, you see some good fruit and some bad fruit. But there's not a sign there that says good fruit and bad fruit. You can see whether or not things are spoiled, rotten, or they're just, you know, blooming and they look great. You can see those apples and oranges and tangerines, those peppers and onions. You can see when things have been, you know, prepared well and presented well in the market. So my question to you is, my friends, what fruit have you created in your life? What good fruit are you working on right now? Think about it, because it should be a goal for all of us. And, you know, as we prepare men to come home from prison, this is a main objective, that they become, you know, productive members of society, great husbands and fathers, great community leaders, and contribute as a working man, as a community servant. It could be on the sports field as a coach, helping the youth to move forward morally, ethically. This is important. So what fruit have you created in your life? I want you to think about that, because it's important. And again, you know, people will see us and know us by the fruit that we create. And the reading goes on to say this: all of the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, bring the high tree low and lift high the lowly tree, wither up the green tree and make the withered tree bloom. And the Lord says, you know, in the Beatitudes, which is such a powerful segment of time that the Lord, you know, provided and prepared for and gave to us, he says this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And there's an opportunity, my friends, for some good fruit when you're comforting those who mourn, those who've lost loved ones, those who've lost a job, those who have been just diagnosed with terminal illness. Think about it. Taking the time to make a phone call, write a letter of forgiveness, a letter of apology that is overdue. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And there's all kinds of mourning that people are doing today. Mourning, you know, the loss of a loved one. Mourning for the loss of a home after a tornado-stricken neighborhood, such as Alabama, months ago, who had more than a dozen tornadoes touch down overnight. And many of the earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, typhoons, tsunamis that have stricken around the world, the fires in California. You know, people are mourning the loss of loved ones, the loss of material things. And I want you to think about this, my friends. When the Lord was put to death and crucified, Our Lady, our Blessed Mother Mary, was mourning the loss of her son. Nobody knows it better than our Blessed Mother what it feels like to lose your son. And that's a powerful thing to know. And it should help us all to embrace our Blessed Mother Mary as our eternal mother, because she saw things up close, witnessed it, his pain and suffering. And so we invoke the Blessed Mother's help in all that we do. And this is important, my friends, that we look to Our Lady to get closer to Jesus, because that is what our Blessed Mother does. And As we go on to the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you know, the Lord says he lifts up the lowly, you know, but he breaks us down. Sometimes people are up too high and they have to fall to understand the Lord's values. There are many ball players out there, many governors and past presidents who have fallen because of too much ego and pride. And the things that they are doing in secret is known by our Father in heaven. So he will reveal that, and people will fall, and they will have to start again in a different way. We have men in prison who have suffered that way, and the Lord has broken them down because too much money and power on the streets has warranted incarceration for life or for 25 to 50 years, 35 to 70 years. And the Lord gives them time to get their minds right and to stop doing what they're doing. But again, the Lord will lift up the lowly, and he will, you know, take people down from the high tree. Okay, he will bring the high tree low. And the Lord knows what we need. He doesn't always give us what we want, because what we want sometimes can be bad for us and create separation between God and us. Think that we have everything we need. We don't need anything from God, when in fact he gives us the breath of life every day, the water we drink, the sun. He gives us our wives and husbands, our children, our homes. It's all there in the blessings of obedience. So when he gives us an abundance, sometimes people break the covenant because they're too comfortable. God wants us to remain with him forever. And it's up to us to, you know, proceed accordingly so that we don't live independently of God, but we draw from that infinite water every day. Draw from his love every day. We confide in him. We talk with him. We listen for the Holy Spirit. It's powerful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Having mercy. Writing a letter of forgiveness. A letter of apology after many years. It's important that we take time to write thank you letters. Apology letters. Make a phone call. Today, everybody has cell phones. But very often, people won't make the call because of too much pride or ego. They don't want to lower themselves. But remember, the Lord was in the trenches. He came to serve, and we have to follow his lead. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. My friends, bring in the peace. When you're a peacemaker, you'll be noted as a child of God, a child of the King. It's very powerful. And that should be a goal every day, because if we're not bringing peace to a situation where there were differences, if we're not bringing peace, then we're bringing something else. We may be bringing fear. We may be bringing nervousness, anxiety, depression. Be a peacemaker and start out by making peace with God. If you're holding a grudge against God, think that you don't need God today because you work in a certain area and make a certain income. Bring the peace. Do what you can to bring peace to every situation. Just to bring the peace with a good morning, a good afternoon, good evening, Very important. The small things in life, like St. Therese, the little flower, you know, great things, you know, in small ways. It's important. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And when we are standing up for God, my friends, we're in good company. Don't forget that. But there will be persecution. There will be criticism, critique. People won't be happy about it. But we have to do it. Like the apostles, like St. Paul, we have to go to the front lines. But first, we have to prepare ourselves through prayer, and God will give us everything we need. He will prepare us to do everything we need to defend the faith, to defend the commandments, to defend the Word of God in schools, to defend saying a blessing at a family meal, to defend saying God bless you when someone sneezes. Think about it. These are important things. Again, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And in this reading, the Lord says this, as I, the Lord, have spoken, so will I do. When the Lord says something, he always delivers. He's a finisher. In other places, the Lord says, I have promised it, and I shall do it, says the Lord. This is incredible, and it's not to be compromised. When the Lord says that he's going to do something, expect that he will come through with it, whatever it is that he has said. This is important, my friends, because very often men and women can have tall egos and think they are, you know, more powerful than God and can change that. But God says, I have promised it and I shall do it, says the Lord. Whatever he says he's going to do, expect that he will do it, my friends, because the Lord Jesus Christ is a finisher. And he proved that on the cross in his life, death, and resurrection 2,000 years ago. And I'll tell you something else. There will not be a second one of those events. That event sets world time apart. Let's go to our second reading, which is very important. Coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, we are always courageous, although we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yet we are courageous, and we would rather leave the body and go home to the Lord. Therefore, we aspire to please him, whether we are at home or away. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense according to what he did in the body, whether good or evil. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A great reading from St. Paul today, my friends, a warrior for the Lord in 2 Corinthians. And he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Blind faith, my friends, not sight, because we don't see the Lord. We have to see the Lord in other people. We have to listen for the Holy Spirit. But we walk by faith. So where is your faith today? Are you an agnostic? Are you an atheist? Are you stagnating in your faith because you're away from the church? Are you a disbeliever in God or in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, a very powerful feast day that we just celebrated last Sunday, Corpus Christi, which, you know, highlights the fact that we have the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, which was given to us in this 12th century when a priest doubted the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and a Eucharistic miracle took place right in front of his eyes and was powerful. And that blood-stained corporal was tested, and Pope Urban IV instituted the Feast of Corpus Christi, the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, a year later, after those tests in Poland were done, because the priest who doubted was from Poland. And 800 years later, we celebrate the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist every day when we go to Mass. Very important. And the Lord says in the reading today, only the Lord Jesus Christ is the judge, because it is not for us to judge. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, do not judge him by his appearance or lofty stature, because I have already rejected this man. Not as man sees, does God see, because man looks at the appearance, but God looks into the heart of a man. And that's where we need to look. But we want to be clear that we're not judging others. Only the Lord is the judge. And we have to be careful, because as men and women, very often we're judging people. And we have to put an end to that, thinking that it's our position in life to be the judge of other people, when in fact it is not. God tells us this in the book of Corinthians today. Also in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, it says, stop judging, or you will be judged. With the same gauge that you use on other people will be measured out to you. So my friends, if you're out there and have a personality which is very judgmental, very opinionated, let's reflect on these readings today and take a step back, that we're not always right. We too make mistakes. And this is important. And I know from working in aviation that 70% of the accidents in the history of aviation were due to human error. Error by men and women, pilots, air traffic controllers, mechanics, because we, my friends, make mistakes. And sometimes we make them in judging other people. And unfortunately, that doesn't bring unity, but it brings separation, isolation, makes for bad relationships. So let's leave the judging to God and go on and about our day. When there's a teaching moment, we can teach generically and teach any subject we want to teach to anyone, to any class. This can be done at the dinner table. This can be done from the pulpit. But there are many teaching moments that are out there, and we need to remember that we must speak out. This is important. I want to go to our gospel reading now, which is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. And here it is. Jesus said to the crowds, this is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day. Through it all, the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once for the harvest to come. He said, to what shall we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed on the earth, but once it is sown, it sprung up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade. With many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to understand it. Without parables he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord makes things simple so we can understand. A great message through the Gospel of Mark today. And the Lord puts it out there that the kingdom of God can be compared to a mustard seed. All right. And the kingdom of God is powerful. Helping to build up the kingdom of God should be our objective each and every day. Each and every year, we should look back and see the good things that we did to help build God's kingdom. To do our part and to not sit back and wait for someone else to do it, my friends, but to do our part. And I want you to look at ourselves objectively. Am I doing my part, or I'm just looking at me, you know, and say, I'm okay, so I don't have to do anything more for the world. I've got mine. I don't have to worry about my neighbor. This is important, my friends, that we do our part. And it doesn't matter the age of the person. We all have things we can do, from praying to words and actions, and to build up God's kingdom is a job. Imagine the kingdom of God where there's no jealousy, no envy, no selfishness, no bitterness, no hatred. No lust or cynicism, no anger or greed or pride or prejudice, no ego, just unending love. It's powerful. The kingdom of God, we will be there one day, and I hope, my friends, that we will be there together to talk about it, because it's powerful. I want to share with you just one thing. I was over at a prayer group in Lower Bucks County on Saturday morning at St. Francis Cabrini Parish. They have a wonderful men's group there doing great work. And as we went around the room, there were probably 35 men there. Each of the men shared some good things. And as I left the prayer group, I thought about how this group of men gave me reason for hope. Men of all ages, from 19 years old up to mid to late 70s, and meeting for years, two Saturdays a month, there's strength in numbers, and they give me reason for hope. And so I want to just reach out and to say to Monsignor McCormick to thank you for that opportunity to be there and to really share the word of God, the peace of God, and the love of God with those men there that morning. I also want to thank Dave Parker from Holy Spirit Radio for sending me a text, inviting me to that meeting. And it was powerful. And so I just tell you that, you know, in our show, there are things that give me reason for hope. And I want to share this with you each and every week on Holy Spirit Radio. We're out of time, my friends. I want to thank you for tuning in with us today. May God bless you, and may God bless your family, your children, your work. And may you, my friends, be with us here next time on Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, and God bless.